Welcome to the Lentil Intervention Podcast, talking all things movement, whole food nutrition and environmental wellness with your hosts, Ben and Emma.
G'day everyone, hope you're all well. A very big welcome to episode 4 in season 2 of the Lentil Intervention Podcast. As always, my name is Emma Strutt, coming to you from beautiful sunny Queensland, and I am joined by my very tired and weary co-host, Ben Eidelberg in New Zealand, which is why I'm leading the intro today. Ben has just finished his ultra marathon, 162 kilometres worth, so a huge, huge congratulations. Ben, how are you feeling? Do you even have the energy to talk to us?
Yeah, I'm buzzing. And actually, something I discovered, because 100 miles is 162 k's, it's actually 165. So, anyway, 165. Details, another 3 k's. No, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. I'm buzzing. But I'll crash very shortly, so yeah, don't you worry.
Yeah, well, we won't keep you too long then. Just wanted to say a really big thank you to all the amazing listeners who have supported Ben's fundraising efforts. At the time of recording, we've raised $680 for the Native Forest Restoration Trust in New Zealand, which is pretty cool. So, Ben, thank you for all of your hard work with that.
Yeah, no, it's actually been pretty cool because, you know, I completed the 100 mile in 32 and a half hours, and when you kind of run alongside a lot of people, you get chatting. So it's kind of cool to, you know, when you're talking about whatever, because you're passing time, and then, oh, by the way, I'm doing a fundraiser, and oh, by the way, this is what it's all about. So, yeah, got engaged with a lot of people doing the run, and of course in the build up with the fundraiser, which incidentally you can still donate. It is open till Friday, the 19th of February. So this week, up until the Friday, you can still make a little donation.
Yeah, so if you were waiting to see if Ben finished or not, now's the time to jump on over.
It was touch and go for a little bit, but yeah, I've finished. I finished well within the cutoffs.
You're a plant-powered athlete. So yeah, to do that, either go to our webpage or go to givealittle.co.nz and just search the Lentil Intervention and you'll find that fundraising page. Okay, Ben, so after running for over 32 hours, I think it might be time to let you get some sleep. We've got a really great couple of guests lined up for today's episode, so I'll let you go and find a pillow close by. I'm sure it's got your name on it, and we'll jump into today's episode.
Brilliant.
Today we are joined by a powerhouse mother-daughter team, well known in the Australian plant-based nutrition world, Drs. Helene and Juliette Rooks. Helene is a paediatrician by trade, but now keeps extremely busy as co-founder of the health promotion charity Doctors for Nutrition and is chair of their board of directors. Juliette is currently completing her GP training in Adelaide and is also involved in Doctors for Nutrition, serving as lead student advisor and South Australian ambassador. These two brilliant doctors often team up to deliver fantastic lectures on whole food plant-based nutrition, so we are thankful to host such experts on the show today. Helene, Juliette, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Emma and Ben.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we're going to have to manage two wonderful ladies here. It's not often we have two guests on at the same time, but thank you so much again for coming onto the show. As we normally start, we like to learn a little bit about our guests. So we'll start with you, Helene. Please tell us, you've been involved in this, I guess, space, the health space for quite a while now and achieved quite a lot. Tell us first how it all started. What inspired you to come down this path?
Yeah, the start is not very common. Most of the time you hear about people that have a disease and they want to find other pathways to treat themselves, and they come to nutrition and plant-based nutrition very often. And that was not my pathway. So I was just scrolling the internet, as some people sometimes do. And I found an interview with Dr. Ornis and Dr. Esselstyn at the same time with CNN. And they talked about heart disease and that you could stop and reverse it with a diet, with a whole food plant-based diet. And that blew my mind. You know, I thought, what? That I never heard of that in my whole medical career. So I started researching them And through them, I saw other doctors and papers. And yeah, so I was sold. My husband is also a medical doctor, and we talked about it. We looked at the research, and almost overnight, we changed. So that's a little bit my story into whole food plant-based nutrition.
And Juliet, so at what stage, you know, did your parents take this change? Were you around already at that time, or were you watching that change as well?
I was living at home still at that time. So I was very fortunate. It was great timing because through my very wise mother, I got to be exposed to all this information. And I had just started medical school, actually. So it was very interesting timing for me. And so because of hearing that information from mom, and we spoke about it also among the family, it all just made sense and it clicked. And that's, when I made that transition as well to a whole food plant-based diet. So that would have been, about 10 years ago now.
Wow.
It's 10 years,
Wow. So certainly a little bit early days, because like you say, Helene, you know, a lot of our guests we've had in the past, you know, a lot of health professionals have, their transition has been because of a health ailment that encouraged them to research a little bit further. Okay, I'm suffering from this, and what are the alternatives to typical medication? And also interestingly, when we talk about inspiration from books, documentaries and so on, one of the most brought up books was and it was for both Emma and myself as well, is the first book that really made that transition for us was The China Study by Dr. T. Colin Campbell, which is a very popular book. But you know, Dr. Eselstein and Dr. Dean Ornish and so on, all the same, you know, hugely inspirational. So so you've been doing that for quite a while, and I see you're involved in a lot of education type work when it comes to whole food plant-based nutrition, living that lifestyle.
So I started educating myself first. The year after that I discovered this, I did the eCornell certificate course, plant-based nutrition course, and that was very, very helpful. And then a few years after that, I went to Washington, D.C. to get trained as a Food for Life instructor at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. So that is run by Dr. Neil Barnard. And so in that capacity, I also do courses here in Adelaide. They are 5-week courses, 5 nights, 1 night per week, 5 weeks in a row, 2 hours per night. I show them the evidence about diabetes and nutrition, heart disease and nutrition, and all these kind of things. And then every night I do a cooking demo of 3 different recipes so they can see how I prepare it, they can taste it, and then it shows how easy it actually is. So then they can take that home, you know, they get the recipes and they can repeat themselves during the week, and then another week comes and more information and other recipes. So it's really, I think, that formula of repeating the things, not a one-off event, but repeating it, is also very valuable, I have seen. And so then going to the USA for a conference, and after maybe 3 conferences, I thought, we need this in Australia. We need something like this in Australia. And then I happened to get to know Lucy Stegley, who was running an event and still business Raw Events. And together, you know, we teamed up because I didn't know how to do events. And so together we did first many symposiums. And after that, we did our first conference in 2019 in Melbourne, and that was fantastic. It was sold out. We had like 250 people. And also we realized that we needed an organization to support this. And that's how DFN came to life. So a charity, an organization supporting the whole notion of bringing this knowledge to healthcare professionals. That's why it's called Doctors for Nutrition, but also the wider general public, of course.
Yeah, brilliant. And I just want to make a quick comment on that conference. the best conference I've ever been to, honestly.
You did a fantastic job,
so I'm looking forward to the next one. But you raise a lot of really good points there, and I'm sure, Juliet, you've seen how powerful this is when you did your rotation at True North. Like, the whole food plant-based diet is a really powerful tool. I mean, the leading causes of death in Australia, they're all, you know, preventable potentially to a point, even manageable, potentially even reversible through this way of eating. Talk to me a little bit about the nutrition training you get in med school.
That's a very good question. And I think that's another reason why it was so important for something like Doctors for Nutrition to come into existence, because in my 6 years of medical school, I think I probably had maybe 2 hours of nutrition education. I mean, I'm not even sure if it was that, to be honest. And it was very superficial. It was mostly about macronutrients and micronutrients and a lot of information that really you can gain from the general media that didn't really feel like it was evidence-based at all. You know, I think one of the things that stuck with me that was really disappointing to hear was we were talking about anemia, particularly iron deficiency anemia, and they'd say, oh, you know, red meat's your best friend, which is, you know, absolute rubbish. So, yeah, it was a very interesting insight, because at that time I already knew about whole food plant-based nutrition and how powerful nutrition can be in impacting our health, and the fact that there was such a lack of a focus in our education about nutrition. So, I think what's also interesting to realise is there's studies that have shown when medical students start their medical schooling, they got asked questions about what they thought, whether nutrition played an important role in health, and majority of people agreed that it does. And then they repeated this survey by the end of medical school and asked them the same question, whether they thought nutrition played an important role in health, and actually majority of them didn't think it had much of a role, which I think is a really telltale sign that we focus so much in medicine on pills and procedures that we lose, you know, the fundamentals of our health. And I think that's really sad, and that's really what I hope we can change.
Why do you think that opinion changes through the course of your studies? I mean, we had a similar conversation with one of our last guests last year, Dr. Tasia Ketch. Is it, you know, I don't want to use this word too harshly, but do you think you're manipulated a little bit in terms of the way you think of how ailments should be treated? So you go into school and, you know, start uni and you think, right, this is your general belief, but then after years and years of study, you're almost forced to think one direction only. Do you think it's, you know, what do you think happens there?
It's a really good question, Ben. And I wish I knew the answer to that, because I think that would help to try and shift and create a change. I think it's probably a multitude of factors that are at play. I mean, from my own experience, what I really noticed and that I was alluding to previously is this, throughout medical school, when we got taught about diseases, it was always paired with straight away what medication or what procedure can we apply to try and, you know, in quotation marks, fix this disease. But the problem with that is it's the focus is not on disease prevention. It's a real band-aid approach. And I think that's what isn't taught. You know, we don't get that. There's no link between what the different treatments that we can offer, what that is actually doing on a mechanism, like on a pathological level. And so I think people start to think that those are the only options available and that nutrition doesn't really have much of an effect. And I genuinely know a lot of my colleagues, if you say, oh, do you think lifestyle can have much of an effect, say, in heart disease, many of them would say, oh, no, not really, which is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. Helene, do you find that surprising, or do you find it disappointing that from the time you studied to now, you know, well, Juliet hasn't just finished, but, you know, more recently, that nothing's really changed? Or has it changed? Has it got worse? Or, you know, or is what Juliet's experienced actually an improvement even?
Yeah, that's... good question in the sense that is it a surprise? I think it is a surprise because over the years, so much more research has surfaced about nutrition and chronic diseases. So if we look at, there are already research papers going back about 90 years or so. I mean, that they also already looked into diet and heart disease and came to the conclusion that less fat, more plants, etc. was helpful. So, and then in 1990 or 1991, we had Dean Ornish coming out with his randomized controlled trial showing that lifestyle intervention, including a plant-based diet, could stop and reverse heart disease. And then Esselstyn, not that long after, doing his case series of patients, nearly 200, and follow-up of 4 years, and only one person had a major event of the, I think, 177 that adhered to a whole food plant-based diet. So many, many other research papers have come out since then, also large cohort studies. So why are they not being picked up? Yeah. And then we are probably talking about paradigm. You know, we are living in a certain paradigm, and it's so hard to look outside of that. So Western medicine is pills and procedures.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling very uncomfortable when I was a practicing doctor, and as a pediatrician, and parents often would ask me, is there something we could do, you know, as in the diet? And then I was lost because I just didn't know what to answer, because I thought, when did I learn that? I don't know, you know, you freak out a little bit. And where do you resort to then? What you read in the papers, the magazines, and what you hear on the radio and TV. So just, you know, the media, and that is, of course, often not the right information.
Yeah. Now, we've spoken a lot about how, you know, I guess in terms of consumerism in general, but in terms of what we eat, we're manipulated by the dairy industry, the beef and lamb industry, chicken, pork, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there's a lot of that as well that instills lack of confidence. You know, you hear or read something that makes a lot of sense, but you just don't have that confidence because you're bombarded with contradictory information, and it's what seemed to be the norm. So how do you, you know, without the right knowledge or without the right support, etc., it is hard to make that that right transition. Now, that leads us really well into, let's go in a little bit deep into Doctors for Nutrition. You've mentioned, you know, the start of it, but tell us a little bit more about it. What's the aim of Doctors for Nutrition? Is it just for doctors? Is it just for healthcare providers? What's the mission? What's the aim? Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So in the end, the vision for us, so our end goal is that we have a society and a healthcare system that embraces evidence-based nutrition as a solution to help people optimize their health and the quality of life. So that's a long sentence, but you know, that's normal, that it becomes normal for everyone in society, in healthcare, that we look at nutrition first. And yeah, how do we get there? So that is our mission. And that is why we started, for instance, Doctors for Nutrition, a charity that at the moment, of course, has not that many doctors aligned, because we need to get them on this path. So we are aiming to inspire the healthcare sector, not only doctors, but others in the healthcare sector, but also policymakers and the society to learn about whole food plant-based nutrition, then to adopt it, and that it becomes a really powerful tool in disease prevention and in disease care.
That's so important. And I think you're doing a really great job at the, you know, the practitioner education and the community outreach at the moment. Tell me a little bit about the events that have been on offer, you know, in the previous years and what's in store for 2021 as far as that goes.
In the previous years, we are still a young organization, 2.5 years. So the lead up, of course, was already a lot of symposiums. As DFN, we basically started off with a bang with our conference in 2019. And we have done some other symposiums since. For instance, with Dr. Kim Williams. He's a cardiologist from the United States, Chicago, and he visits Australia when the Australian Open is there. And then we always ask him, and he always says yes to do a symposium. So we have done in Melbourne, in Sydney, in Brisbane, and we were still lucky this year because it was February. We could do one in Adelaide. So that was a full event, also about 200 people. And yeah, that's fantastic. We draw in other doctors, do presentations. We have panels. We had this year a lot of different panels. For instance, a student panel and an athlete panel. So it's very interesting to have these panels for the general public. And we also have set up Dine with a Doc. And Dine with a Doc, we did it once, and COVID put a little bit of a stop to it. Yeah, exactly. So once in New Zealand, when the lifestyle conference, the Australasian Lifestyle Association, I am not even sure of the right name, had its conference in New Zealand in Auckland, and then we had a Dine with a Doc event. The idea is to bring healthcare providers together and inform them about healthy nutrition, plant-based nutrition. And in this case, it was not a dinner, but it was a breakfast. But it was also like 50 people there. And because these doctors came to the lifestyle conference, we had a lot of people already open to more lifestyle change attending this Dine with a Doc. And we hope to do that in 2021 so as well, when we can do it again.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Fingers crossed everything goes smoothly in that aspect. Now, Juliet, you've been involved in a lot of these events. What has the feedback been with medical students? Are you aware?
Yeah, it's been really good, actually. I think often these events do select for individuals who already have a bit of a curiosity and interest in nutrition. I think that really helps. I think they're primed to receive this sort of information. But often I have had students come up to me afterwards and be really sort of relieved that there is, you know, a particularly someone who's just graduated talking about these things and advocating for these things, so that they don't feel so alone in this space, because it can be quite isolating. Just there's not obviously a lot of doctors yet who are aware of this information. So it's, the feedback's been really, really great, and we've got a really close relationship with AMSA, which is the Australian Medical Student Association, which is Australia-wide, and they've been incredibly valuable in helping us assist also them in how we can try and bring more of this education to medical students. I think that's going to be really vital in seeing this transition in the long run.
Something we've raised in the past is that when you look at the vegan movement in general, a lot of the growth is amongst the younger generation, but that's more the vegan movement in general, not necessarily from a health perspective. And as we've mentioned a little bit earlier, when it comes to health, it's either once you're suffering from an ailment, so that's, you know, it's almost a forced transition for a lot of people, not the majority. So it's really heartening and encouraging now to see that there's more of a growth amongst the younger generation, acknowledging that, well, I'm not going to wait until there's a problem. Let's actually start living that more, you know, that healthier lifestyle now. T- to actually really reap the benefits down the line. So it's really positive to see, and I believe that's part of your role with DFN as an ambassador amongst the sort of the younger generation, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, when you're younger, it's tempting to fall into the habit of thinking that, you know, oh, I don't have to worry about a lot of these problems later down the track. But I think we've seen now from a lot of research that a lot of the issues that present themselves later in life, the underlying pathological processes can already be occurring right now in us.
That's right.
So we can be developing atherosclerosis in our vessels and arteries right now, depending on what we're putting into our mouth and how we're treating our body. And I think that we're becoming more aware of that. And that's really powerful. I think that really makes you realize, actually, the choice I make with every meal, every day, right now, can ultimately impact what my life is going to look like down the track. And I think that's also what I want to emphasize is, sometimes when we talk about being healthy, people think, oh, it's all about living longer. No, not necessarily. It's not really necessarily about living longer. I think that's a natural side effect of it. But it's ultimately more about living a healthier, more vibrant life for longer. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, how do you want to be spending those last years? Do you want to be able to be active, enjoy your, you know, spending time with your loved ones? Or is it going to be having to spend a lot of time in hospital and taking numerous pills and potentially having to undergo procedures and all the complications that come from that? You know, I know the sort of path that I want to be going down. And I think that's what's so powerful, is that we can be showing the younger generation that they can be choosing that path right now.
That's brilliant. Now, in addition to the seminars and symposiums and so on, you've also recently, DFN has recently released a really useful resource, PDF document that we will put a link in our show notes that will take it to your website. But we have also got a copy on our own website just to make it easier. Helene, tell us a little bit about this, this plant-based nutrition and health guide.
Yeah, so to starting off DFN to try to inform healthcare professionals, one of the first things that we wanted to do and that has now come to life is a health professionals guide. And it's a very concise and clear explained, I think 12 small pages booklet that you can just read in 10 minutes. And that will give the healthcare professional a really good overview of the information and background why whole food plant-based eating is so important for our health. And further resources, as in references to studies, can then be found on the website of Doctors for Nutrition. So that is a guide for healthcare professionals, and all the resources that come with this are for free, and they are available via our website. And other resources that come with this is, for instance, a patient handout, because you inform the doctor, but how is the doctor going to inform the patient? And that's just an A4 two-sided for patients to have a look at. And also go back to the website for more information. And then a lot of people say, if you talk about nutrition as a doctor, a lot of people will say, but doctor, I already eat quite healthy. And we have a lovely little, very short 2-minute survey. It's called the 4-leaf survey that someone in the United States started, and we were allowed to use it. And then you can see, you know, if you are very plant-based, you score 4 leaves. And a lot of people only score 1 and 2 when they think that they already eat very healthfully and include a lot of basically plants in their diet. So that is really an eye-opener and also a little bit of a motivator for a lot of people to say, oh, but I want to get to 3 leaves, or maybe I even want, you know, that's helpful.
Yeah.
And then we also have a shopping idea list, because, okay, I want to do this, but what do I buy? What do we eat? And so this is a really handy list for people to get ideas from. Okay, yes, I can do that. And yes, I can prepare that. We have also a poster that the doctors can put up in their clinics, a big poster. And then as an extra resource for healthcare professionals, but also for the general public, are our webinars. They are called Food Vitals. It's also for free. And we have started this in September, I believe. We have done 4 so far, and they are very well received. So we invite specialists nationally, internationally, doctors that are whole food plant-based from several specialties or GPs, other people that have an specialty in their own right that we include in these webinars. So it's really, really very educational and entertaining, actually.
Brilliant. And it just with the resource kit, with what's included, it sounds very comprehensive, but I'm well aware that doctors have only a very short amount of time to see their patients. Is this achievable to implement in day-to-day practice when you're seeing patients?
I definitely think it is possible. It's always about time management, and I think there's always the option of getting people to come back and breaking it up in short sessions. You know, you can cover one aspect in one consultation and then get someone to come back. And as Mum mentioned earlier, actually having that regular contact and allowing a little bit of time in between as well for people to think about it, let it process, experiment and work out where they're maybe struggling, to then come back and have that opportunity to ask questions and then talk about, you know, more things as well. So I think it's possible. It's just, yeah, you got to have the... have the right mindset.
And I think the patient handouts, the way you've designed it, I think it will make it quite helpful to, you know, they've got that information to take home with them. So you're setting them on the right path and then you can follow up later on.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think it's also planting that seed. For some people, it probably will never make a difference because they are not open to it and maybe not open to it yet or maybe not open to it for always. But there are many people interested if they are being diagnosed, for instance, with type 2 diabetes and they are looking at starting to use pills for that, or the doctor gives them the option, maybe a change in your diet might, you know, help significantly. Many people are open to that suggestion. And so I think it's also planting that seed. There's something else there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and look, I even look at it as it's our duty, you know, it's our duty in our profession to be providing all the information to the patients and then they can make the decision. You know, it would be not fair to withhold this information because the evidence is so strong and the possible outcomes are so enormous. I think it would be negligent not to share this information.
And one thing I'd like to add about this guide that I really like, and it's something that Emma and I touch on quite a bit, is, you know, whilst we're advocates for, I guess, you know, promoting the ideal, you got to be realistic, right? And it's really nice to be specific here, you know, that you're still, you know, there are groups that might be a bit, we might even see it as a bit extreme. And there are cases where you need to be, especially if you're recovering from something. But when you want it to appeal to a bigger market, you need to make it a bit more appealing. And I like the fact that, you know, for instance, and I'll bring up an example, something that we always say, as best as you can, avoid oil. We know the issues with it. But you've also got to be realistic. You know, if you eat out to be social, which is an important component from a lifestyle perspective, don't be so obsessed. Don't be so, you know, it's okay. Your body will recover, but as best as you can, especially when you're cooking at home, etc., you do the best to avoid something like that. So it's really nice to see a guide that puts the emphasis on where the real important components are. You know, what you need to eat as often as you can and what you need to eat every day. But then other things, they become the sometimes, but they're not the absolute no, because that can put people off. So it's a bit more appealing, this, I think, and should get a lot more people on board.
Yeah, I fully agree, Ben. It's not all or nothing. Mm. Absolutely not. If you look at most studies, whether that is a prospective cohort study, but also Dr. Ornish's and also Dr. Esselstyn's studies with heart disease, there is a dose responsiveness. What does that mean? It means the more you change, the more effect you will see. So basically, people have a choice. So if they say, yes, but I want to see a little bit more weight control, or I would like to see a little bit more control in my type 2 diabetes, well, you have to do a little bit more. Yeah. And also the dose responsiveness is supporting the science, actually, because if you do a study and you see that dose responsiveness, it adds strength to the scientific evidence that is being presented at that point. So no, it's not all or nothing. Every step counts.
100%. Now, another thing I've really enjoyed seeing, you know, when we talk about future plans for DFN in the new year, something that started popping up from your end, and I'm keen to explore this a little bit more, is the environmental aspect. I see that DFN have aligned, well, correct me if I'm using the wrong terminology here, but sort of creating a partnership or an alliance with organizations such as 50 by 4 and Climate and Health Alliance as well. Is DFN taking a sort of not changing the direction, but encompassing a little bit more, or is there a little shift in mindset in terms of the bigger picture?
I think, Ben, that the change towards more plant-based eating pattern is very important for our health, but so important for many other things. One of them is our environment, and lining
which is
up,
also important for our health, if I can jump in there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's all linked.
Absolutely.
Listen to our podcast. It's what we've been trying to explain. Exactly. 100%.
So it's all linked. And we have to connect and we have to bridge gaps between, oh, we are doing only nutrition and another organization is doing only environment. We have to connect and we have to bring the environment into the healthcare, and the people looking at the environment have to bring in nutrition, you know, as a big factor that it plays, a big role it plays into environmental health.
Yeah.
So that is why we think it's so important to connect with other organizations.
Well, we've been saying it a lot. There's no point in being the absolute healthiest, fittest, you know, amazing person you can be if there's no planet left to stand on. So it is important to incorporate. And that's great. I think that's fantastic. And I think that's where, you know, DFN's direction is you're still young, as you say, but starting to achieve a lot, which is really amazing to see.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And that is what we want to do for the year 2021 and beyond. So continue to work in the education sector, advocacy, community outreach. So a lot will be focused on education, giving information, creating opportunities to educate further the healthcare professionals, the students, etc. And networking, create events, networking events, and have what I talked about, these beautiful panels that work really, really well. So, yeah, and then the second conference, let's talk about that one.
Yeah, can we?
Can we?
Give us the inside scoop.
That one was planned, of course, for the start of 2021. And, we early on in 2020, we decided that that's probably not a good idea to keep that up. And if we want to do it in person, which we are still aiming for, so we postponed it to 2022. So probably February 2022, so details will follow, will come. But the focus is now on 2022, and we hope to have it bigger, national, international speakers. So it's very exciting. And we have already started planning, so that is wonderful.
Looking forward to it. I'll pencil it into my calendar. In regards to Doctors for Nutrition, you're providing really great resources. You're doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes. For any health professional that's listening, or even members of the public, if they're interested in helping out, getting involved, how can they?
Go to the website, And there is a link, I'm not sure even the name, but join us or
get involved.
And so there are many ways. Of course, first of all, we are a charity and no government support, young. So we are completely reliant, like every other charity, on donations. So anyone who is interested in that way in supporting us, of course. But you can tell what your interests are, what you could contribute to DFN, or tell a little bit about your background, and we might approach you and say, hey, you could help us out in this area. So there are many ways in supporting us behind the scenes or with our events, for instance. Mm. Yeah, so a lot of people reach out to us that way.
Or even just letting us know that you exist, because we just love growing our community anyway, and it allows us to connect more people. So if people are even, for instance, looking for a GP that's open to this idea and in nutrition, then we can connect you with patients and that sort of thing. So yeah, just I think I couldn't stress enough how important it is just to click that get involved button, even if you aren't able to dedicate a lot of time at the moment, just so at least we can connect you to our community. I think that would be really lovely.
I think that's hugely valuable. Myself included, come across a lot of people, might be in a different part of the country, and the question gets asked, you know, well, is there someone I can see? And I'll think, well, hang on, I know Emma in Brisbane, but that doesn't help here. I need someone here in the South Island, or, you know, so absolutely, if we can grow that community, I think. And it's surprising how many there are. It's just a matter of connecting.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, sometimes every other week or every month, or and then a doctor or a dietitian or another healthcare provider, I say, pops up, and then I didn't know of this person, and it's also whole food plant based, and you know, and then you know, we can team up. So yeah. That's what it's very important to Julia, what you said, to make yourself well, you know, known. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and even if you have suggestions for ways in which we can improve, you know, what we're trying to achieve as Doctors for Nutrition, we are always open to that. And yeah, so don't hesitate to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
Well, as the non-DFN member here on this panel, I can say I attended the Young at Heart Symposium, which was at the beginning of 2019 in Brisbane, when I was spending time there. So I was quite fortunate. I saw all three of you speak. And so I can certainly say that the work that you do is amazing. You know, I'm not a health professional, and yet I find these valuable. You know, attending these conferences and symposium, there's just so much to learn, so many good people to meet as well. And you know, I can only wish this organization all the best. You know, keep growing. It's not just Australia; it's Australia, New Zealand. You know, Dr. Luke Wilson, for instance, he's very involved with DFN, and he's been a popular guest of ours amongst so many others. So, ladies, Helene, Juliette, thank you so, so much for coming onto the show, sharing the story, sharing the passion. And honestly, the future looks a lot brighter. You know, a lot of our episodes can be a little bit doom and gloom, but it's nice to have an episode where it's there's a lot of positive change, a lot of amazing people driving that change. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, both Ben and Emma, for the opportunity and for this wonderful conversation. And I fully agree, it's all positivity. And more people we reach, the more positive the future looks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I want to return the love as well and say that the podcast that you're doing as well, work like that, it's just, we need more people like you doing that. And so absolutely love your work. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much. I'm blushing.
Fully agree. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Lentil Intervention Podcast. If you found this interesting, make sure you subscribe and share it with your friends.